The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answered from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. If there is anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish, or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught them what we know of today as the Lord's Prayer. We use it every Sunday, don't we? And I think we all know it by heart by now, at least the traditional version with trespasses, not sins. So I want to talk a little bit about what's in that Lord's Prayer today and maybe jog your memory a little bit from confirmation class. When Jesus answers the disciples and said, "Pray this way," he says, "Pray our Father." But he doesn't use the word we know of as Father. He uses the word in Hebrew, Abba. That's not the Swedish singing group, but it's the personal word for Father. So think about what you called your Father when you were endearing to him, like Dad or Daddy or Pop or whatever you called your Father in your most endearing way is the way Jesus says to talk to God. Now, do we think of God as that kind of Father? Probably not. But we ought to, Jesus says. Luther says, we talk to him in that way so that we may have boldness and complete confidence that we're in a conversation with God. Next, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name," or "Holy be your name." Luther says we know that God's name is holy, but we ask in this prayer that it be holy in our lives too. Then we say, "Thy kingdom come." And Luther says the kingdom of God comes without our doing. But we ask that it come among us. So how can the kingdom of God come among us? Well, Nick, talking with the children this morning, gave us some good examples of that. When we help other people, God's kingdom comes among us. Thy will be done. God's will comes without our prayer, but we ask, as Luther says, that that will of God is in our lives each and every day in each and everything that we do. Then we say, give us this day our daily bread. And Luther says daily bread includes all that we need in life. Now I want to talk a little bit about stewardship to you this morning. When we say stewardship, you usually think about offering, right? The money that you give to the church. But stewardship is how you deal with every single thing that God has blessed you with in life, including yourself, your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your friends. Every gift that God has given you, life itself, you are called to be good stewards of. Stewardship is not just asking for money. Stewardship is taking care of everything that God has blessed us with. And that includes ourselves, our time, and our talents. That's really what stewardship is all about. And when we say to God, give us this day our daily bread, we are trusting that God will give us everything that we need in life. And that we will be good stewards of everything that God blesses us with. And then, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Usually we take that to mean that God forgives us, therefore we're going to forgive other people. But how about taking it this way for a change? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're asking God to forgive us the way we forgive other people. Now that's kind of a scary petition, isn't it, when you put it that way? That's why it's interpreted the other way all the time. But think about it. We're asking God to forgive us the way we forgive other people. Maybe we ought to be a little bit more forgiving if we interpret it that way. And then we say, deliver us from temptation or save us from the time of trial. We know that God doesn't tempt anyone, but we know of all the temptations in life. We all experience them. And we trust that God will be with us to deal with those temptations. That's why we pray that. And deliver us from evil. If you don't believe there's evil in the world, you're very naive. There's plenty of evil to go around. And we trust that God will keep us safe, not just in this life, but safe eternally from all evil that afflicts us. Then he tells a story about persistence. In a sense, he's saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Search and you will find. So let me ask you this morning, how do you pray? Do you pray like Abraham in the Genesis text, bargaining with God? Tell God, God, if you're really there, do this for me or do that for me? Is it a matter of persistence that you badger God until God does what you want? Until we get what we want or God gets it right? Do we ask and expect to be answered? To get our answer? One of my seminary professors, who's long dead now, but he was my advisor also. His name was Doris Flesner, and Doris was a man's name at the time. He was a church history professor of mine. He was always also my faculty advisor. Well, I remember being invited over to his house, and he and his wife Ruth told me this story. That fascinated me. He said that Ruth's great great-grandfather was a sea captain on the Atlantic. He was not at all a God-fearing man, and he was in a storm that he was afraid was going to destroy the boat and kill him. And so he said, "God, deliver me," not even knowing why he said it, because he didn't believe in God. And then he bargained with God, and he said, "God, if you deliver me, I'll dedicate my life to you." Well, he was delivered. He had five daughters, all of them married pastors. He had three grandsons, they all became pastors. Three granddaughters, they all married pastors. Even one great-granddaughter became a pastor. That was all because of that bargaining with God that Ruth's great-great-grandfather did hundreds of years ago. And I could thank that professor of church history and his wife, who became very good friends of mine and very good spiritual leaders while I was in seminary, I could thank her great-great-grandfather for them being there for me. Paul talks about praying unceasingly. What he means by that is not mouthing words all the time in prayer, but focusing on God unceasingly. When you see the sunrise and it looks beautiful, think about what God has blessed you with in that sunrise, or in the smile of a child, or the voice of birds that you hear singing in the morning. Praying is getting out of ourselves, getting into listening to God, listening to all the voices that God has around us, in nature and in people. God gives without our asking. That's the point of Jesus' story about the child and the fish. How often is it that we judge whether God answers prayer by whether or not we get the results we expected? As if God owes us because we are praying for other people. Notice again when the disciples ask Jesus to teach them, he says, "Address God as Father." We are accustomed to that now, but imagine the audacity of speaking to the Almighty as Dad, or maybe even Mother, although that offends a lot of people. So let me leave this with you this morning. How do you pray? When you pray for rain, do you bring an umbrella? When you pray, do you expect God's answer and not yours? Prayer is powerful because it is the power of God. And so be careful what you pray for. You might get an answer. Amen.